Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Hallelujah. I'm serious. I want you to stand. This is a call to prayer, and I know what to pray for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray that God will use the internet, because clearly our influence here is very, very limited. The devil would like to close that out altogether, but he's going to fail in that. But God has chosen to use the internet to take the sermons here and the gospel here and to get it beyond these walls, to take a poor boy's lunch, so to speak, and multiply it. And so we're praying for God to continue to anoint our brother who had the entire vision for the internet ministry, and God has begun to bless it. We see fruit from it here this morning. We're grateful for you guys hitting our website. I would believe God led you there, because without that, there's no way you would have knew that we existed down here on our little corner of Tampa. But God has done something special, and He's anointed Doug with a vision for this, and I believe God is going to use this, amen, as a ministry and outreach. He's already begun it. And he said he would get the finances in. He's proved himself. Everything here is paid for. We're not trying to pay off a mortgage. Our building fund now is to actually get a building. Isn't that good that we can have this so clear that we don't have to worry about that? The Lord is taking care of that through your faithfulness and through special gifts that have come in through you and others who have, God has placed it on their heart to help us. So we're clear this morning. Praise God. I'm excited about all of those things that the Lord has done. I want Dale to sing again live one Sunday. Look what the Lord has done. Praise God. And we need to reflect on that. We need to rehearse that, because it gives us courage in what He's going to do. But He's already done this. And look around. It's not our strength, our bigness, our might. God has done this. Hallelujah. And there are people in storefronts this morning that would just give anything in the world to be sitting where we are right now and have this new beginning. And we have this new beginning now debt-free. Everything is paid for. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Even my shoes. Hallelujah. I don't even owe JCPenney anything today on it. Hallelujah. Everything here is paid for. We're grateful. God is so very good to His people. It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. That means God is ready to move in this small context as He is in any coliseum or convention hall anywhere. Where two or more gather together in my name, how is God in relation? There am I in the midst of them. And because of His presence in the midst, He goes on to say, for where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if two of you on earth, because of my presence with you, if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it will be given them of my Father which is in heaven. Everybody say, there's more than two of us here. So God is here, because we've come in His name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. And what we agree on in prayer, He said, if two or more of us agree in prayer, if any two of us agree in prayer, it'll be given us of our Father. If it's according to His will, God said, I'll answer that prayer when you come into agreement, to accord, hallelujah, to harmony with God's will and harmony with one another. So there's more than two of us in harmony, I'm sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why. This is a witness of the Spirit. Enjoy it. Hallelujah. I will continually prove myself that I'm your God. I will continually override and overrule all the circumstances. Yea, wherever there are people who call upon my name, large or small, I will manifest my presence and my power to help, saith God. Therefore, take courage in your heart and cease not to call upon me, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Did we ever pray? I think we were trying to over this offering. Hallelujah. Father, bless this offering we receive in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Bless this people that have come together in your name to worship you. Bless this audience, this extended audience that will hear this word when they over the internet, Father, or through a CD or a tape, wherever it goes, let them be reminded what we're reminded of as we begin this ministry in the word today, that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Father, let this word be known as sent word today, not just over the airways, Father, or even in this place, but by your Spirit. And Father, we'll give you the praise for those you heal and those you help, and above all, for those you save and deliver. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. And amen. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, and thank you for giving again today. And while you're giving, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and just verse 9, just the ninth verse of Philippians 4 this morning. I'm going to talk to you on the subject today, if you haven't guessed it already, that the God of peace is with us. Say that with me, the God of peace is with us. Say that again. The God of peace is with us. And if there would be a corresponding title to that statement, it would be Finding Courage and Consolation in Troubled Times. How many know we're living in troubled times? Do we have to read the paper, tell you what was on TV last night or CNN? How many know we're not just living troubled times in the world, but you're going to find some troubled times in your world? You're not going to be insulated because you are not in touch with the world. You can turn your television off. You can cancel your subscription to Newsweek and Time. You can go ahead and tell the Tampa Tribune that you don't want the paper anymore. You can turn off your television, seclude yourself in your house, and pretend that you're in a peaceful cocoon. But I guarantee you, your world is going to be interrupted. You're not going to find peace in isolation or trying to live in a vacuum or running from your troubles and running from your giants. Amen. I love the story of David because in faith in the God of Israel, he ran toward the giant instead of from him. I really don't believe the Christian armor, the spiritual armor, works on people that are running from the devil and running from the challenges of life. I believe it works at its optimum when we run toward them, amen, declaring victory with every step that we take. Now, that sounds like, a strident, valiant attitude to take, but it's the only way you'll ever know victory. Amen. I've been preaching for over 30 years, and I can tell you the victory level in most Christian lives is not near as high as they say it is. It's not what we say in our testimonies. It's how we live out our life on a daily basis. Real victory is sustained through the daily pressures of life. It's not something that you get euphoric about when the spotlight is on you or someone hands you a microphone. Amen. I believe I could hand a microphone to everyone in here, and everyone in here could recall some victorious time in your life and tell about it. But I'm not talking about what you recall, some high point. I'm talking about what's happening in the daily course of your life. I'm talking about a sustained victory. I'm talking about a sustained peace. I'm talking about a sustained joy. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something. If it isn't sustained, what we get into is a one step forward, one step back. How many know you don't make progress in that kind of atmosphere and attitude? How many know you don't gain ground in that kind of attitude? Amen. How many in here know what I'm talking about when I say a step forward and a step back? One day you've got great victory, rehearsing the victories of God. It's a good day. It's a great day. You're telling everybody how great God is. But then incidents happen. Not accidents, incidents. I don't believe in any accidents. I believe God or the devil is the source of what's happening in your and my life. I don't believe we're neutral. I believe there are forces at work. Amen. I'm told to actually resist the devil. Can you say amen? Standing steadfast in the faith. And I'm told to surrender and yield unto God. Hallelujah. I'm told in Scripture that God is in control. Hallelujah. And that everything is working together for good. That God orchestrates everything that touches my life for good. If I love Him and if I acknowledge that I am the called according to His purpose, and that if I understand His purpose is to make me more like Jesus, not just make me live a more convenient life. Can you say amen? Well, just thought I'd run that by you this morning. We might get a smile before you leave this room. It's possible. Can you say amen? It's absolutely possible that what we say to others and what we say when we testify could be something sustained in our life. Because if it isn't sustained, then after a while people quit listening to what we say when we testify. Because it's not sustainable in the daily life that we live. Christian victory has to be sustained. How many know joy has to be sustained to strengthen you? You can't just have it some days and lose it the other time. How many know faith has to be sustained to bring a manifestation in your life? You can't believe God one day and doubt Him the next day. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the Scripture says, don't let that man expect to receive anything from the Lord. So God wants to bring stability. And He wants to do it through His Word. He wants to reveal things to you and reveal things to me that will stabilize my faith and stabilize my life. He wants to work deeper works by the Holy Spirit than just a shout on Sunday morning. He wants to bring a lasting peace to me. Because sustained power is based on lasting peace. If you lose your peace, you won't use your sword. If you lose your peace, you won't use your shield. If you lose your peace, you won't be able to claim the promises. Your faith is not going to work when you have no peace within you. Can you say amen? If you lose your peace, it's the shoes. It doesn't matter about the rest of the armament. You're not going very far without any shoes on. Amen? And it's a piece of the armor that is underrated because it isn't the shiny sword. It isn't the glistening breastplate. It isn't the mighty shield. It's just shoes. And yet, you're not fully armored without shoes. And in the Roman soldier, which was the model for this, by the way, it was a short sword like the Roman soldier used at the time. It wasn't one of these long, broad swords. It was a short sword. It was for fighting up close. You had to be close to your opponent, amen, to fight that way. But there was hobnailed boots that the soldier wore. And the hobnailed boots gave him two things essential to using the rest of the armament effectively in battle. And you know what they were? Number one is mobility. He could actually go to the field of battle. He could get there to fight. Someone said one time, I heard a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff years ago. I was in Washington, D.C., and it was a Christian gathering. Christian senator had invited preachers from each state in the Union, and thank God they didn't look at the size of churches because they chose me to represent Florida. They did it random. Everybody say, with God, nothing is random. Hallelujah. Well, God wanted me there. And there's no way man would have picked me, so it had to be the Lord. So to keep it fair, they just picked, a preacher, a church out of the Yellow Pages, and I was invited to go to Washington, D.C., and there was somebody from Alaska and somebody from Minnesota and somebody from Arkansas and one of each of the states, and I came from Florida, the only representative us at the Capitol Hilton Hotel. Oh, man, this little old preacher from Florida. Amen. At the Capitol Hilton, where they have all these meetings from the White House, and the very carpet has presidential seals all over it, and you sit down with too many forks and too many spoons. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And say, what are all these for? Amen. I know one's for soup and one's for salad, but when you get past the soup and salad, I don't know what the rest of them are for. Can you say, this great, you'll be grateful to know I did not drink out of the finger bowl. Can you say amen? At least I had some etiquette. Amen. But God was so good, amen, to let me hear some of the things that were being brought in Washington, D.C., even back then. Boy, we live in a troubled world. And they talked about all the trouble and the troubles that we're going to have as Christians and that we didn't even understand all that was going to come. I look back then and how innocent we all seemed as Christians then compared to now with the great attack upon the faith and the personal attack upon Christians that we're going through now. We're in a time of great trouble in these last days, trouble that's worldwide in scope, and yet trouble that comes to us in a personal level. So I don't know which trouble you're facing. I think it's a combination of understanding what's coming upon the world and what's happening in your personal life. You can't escape trouble in this world. It's a promise that no one wants, but everybody gets from Jesus. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Now, He says something that we need to hear this morning. Be of good cheer. But in spite of the trouble, be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. You say, Brother Venable, what's that have to do with me? Well, if your trust is in Him who has overcome the world, He's going to give you the strength you need, the grace you need, and the victory you need to overcome. But you can't get it from yourself or anyone else. It comes exclusively from the One who overcame this world. Literally, He's went before you to face everything that you're going to face, and He's conquered it all in your behalf. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? He leads us in triumph, or literally in a constant pageant of triumph, as Moffat says. Hallelujah. In other words, every trial we face becomes a victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. And He is glorified, and we triumph in the crucified. Everybody say, we triumph in the crucified. Let me just read verse 9 to you quickly this morning of Philippians 4. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's important to pick up this little phrase at the end of the 9th verse of the book of Philippians, because Paul uses that over and over again. Every letter almost in the New Testament begins with similar words. Grace and peace be unto you. Amen. And grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And the God of peace be with you. On 4 other occasions, he uses the term, the God of peace, the God of peace, the God of peace, the God of peace. And of the many descriptive phrases used in the Bible to identify God, one of the most arresting and appealing is the title, the God of peace. Why don't you say it this morning, the God of peace? Though God is addressed as the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the Lord of hosts, the God of patience, and the God of all grace, the most meaningful for this troubled world that we live in is the one given us by Paul right here in this verse of Scripture. The God of peace. What a beautiful description of God. Amen? Amen. You've got to begin to ponder this God of peace, to meditate upon this God of peace. You're not going to find peace in the absence of pressure. In this world, you shall have tribulation. The Greek word is thelpsis, and it means anguish and pressure. There's no place to go. Amen. Have you ever heard the song, Home, Home on the Range, where the deer and the antelope play? Amen. I'm going to tell you something about the Old West. It wasn't like that. You couldn't just go out on the range and get away from it all. Amen. There was droughts, and there was blizzards, and there was pestilence, there was diseases, and there was Indians that didn't want us there, and we shouldn't, you know, because we're intruding. And there was all kinds of hardship and heartache. Amen. Back in the 1800s, the average age for a man to live was 47. Everybody say 47. Aren't you glad that median age just went up because of all the things that could take you out? The ladies died in childbirth by the thousands. Children died by the thousands right after they were born. People died of flus because there was no antibiotics to give them. I mean, we're trying to find a humorous take on some of the threatening things in our world. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard to find humor in it. I mean, I saw a political cartoon in the Tampa Tribune last week. And since we're moving up toward Thanksgiving, it showed this turkey standing before this pilgrim. And the turkey had a briefcase. And on the briefcase, it said, bird flu. And if you haven't heard of the bird flu, I want you to know that right now, your country, as well as other countries in the world, are scampering to try to prepare for the possibility, if not the probability, of a pandemic. I'm not talking about an epidemic, because an epidemic, just like an epicenter to an earthquake, is centralized. It's a terrible thing, but it's in one place contained. That's an epidemic. If they have an epidemic in Indonesia, then it's in Indonesia. But a pandemic is what they're talking about. A pandemic is something that covers literally every place in the world. There's no place to go from a pandemic. Amen. It's like the plague back years ago that killed millions of people. And there's a threat right now that millions of people could die because of a flu that is untreatable by anything that we have to treat it with. This is a deadly killer flu. Have you, anybody heard about bird flu at all? Anything about it? Your head hadn't been that far in the sand? I mean, you haven't been just watching Oprah. These other things have crept in. Can you say, man? Do you realize that it is prophesied that there would be pestilence in the last days? Amen. Do you realize man in his infinite wisdom doesn't have the answer for everything that we face? Amen. That's why the Bible said that with all of these conditions of the last day, there would be distress of nations with perplexity. The Greek word is puzzlement. It means the nations of the world are not going to find easy answers or solution through their technology, their wealth, their military might, all of their resources put together. They won't find answers to certain events that are coming upon the earth. Why won't they find them? Why haven't they found a cure for this or a cure for that? Because man is not God. And he's no substitute for God. The greatest thing that the Christian community can possibly hear is this in the time of trouble and in troubled times. The God of peace is with you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Amplified New Testament says, the God of... Oh, by the way, the turkey's holding this briefcase, and down at the bottom of the caption, amen, standing before a pilgrim, amen, he says, it says, payback time. No, what we're facing is the precursors to a judgment to come. We're in what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows. And it's not going to quit until Christ comes. Can you say amen? The Bible said when you see certain events that mark the end, that leads into the tribulation, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you lift up your head. You don't get caught up in the atmosphere and attitude of the world. You lift up your head because you read these things differently. You see these headlines through a different lens. You do not see them, amen, as the end of all things, but the beginning of His kingdom. These things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. But this is the Scripture said, the beginning of sorrows. Everybody say sorrows. For the sake of this disc and where it may go as a standalone tape or disc, amen, this word sorrows is the word birth pangs in the Greek. It's only used that way one time in the New Testament. And it's about the end time events that would lead into the tribulation period. He said when you see them start, the things that have been happening from day one in the earth, wars and rumors, earthquakes in diverse places, amen, pestilence, all of these things, the sea and the waves roaring, tsunamis, tidal waves, weather conditions that seem to be more severe than even imagined or predicted. When you see these things begin to happen, not just happening piecemeal here and there through and with time frames in between, but when you see them happening back to back, like one wave after another, after another, after another, birth pangs is that way, isn't it? Amen. And so God chose the word. The Holy Spirit chose that word to designate a time of the end different from all time. Because this has happened throughout human history in a fallen world. But in the time of the end, there would be an increase in frequency. Everybody say frequency. They would happen back to back to back. Remember Job when his troubles began to come? One man was telling him that the house fell in on his kids. Another came in because of a whirlwind. The next came and told him, said, your sheep have all been stolen. While he was yet speaking, another came and said, your cattle have all been stolen. One after another. Boom, 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 boom. And we're in a, do you know what they said about the hurricane season of many severe storms within a season? The National Insurance Commission, by the way, the bad news is your insurance may go up. The good news is your God will provide for you. The God of peace is with us. Amen. God will just have to bless us more. Gas goes up, God will have to bless us more. Meal barrel goes empty, God will have to bless us more. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm expecting great, miraculous movings of God in behalf of His people in the last days because we're going to need the supernatural to help us, and God is going to be unto us the same God that He was to Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the Lord God of Israel. And my Bible says that He changes not. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time that I have a need that my God has promised to supply, there's an opportunity for two things to happen. Me to have a need met by Him and Him to be glorified when that need is met. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And the correct order is Him to be glorified first and foremost. How many know God is glorified in the caring of His people and the taking of care of His people? Thank God, amen, for this statement that is so rich in meaning and so full of faith. The God of peace shall be with you. You're going to go through the end times. Some generation is going to go through the very end times. But the God of peace shall be with you. Can you say amen? You're going to go through personal problems and pressures. But the God of peace, by the way, if you're a new Christian, here's the good news. You belong to God. Here's the bad news. The devil doesn't like that. Hebrews 10:32 says, after you were illuminated, after you came to the revelation of Christ as Savior, you accepted Him as Savior. Amen. You endured. Listen to this, a great fight of afflictions. That's the bad news. The enemy's against you. The good news is the God of peace is with you. God is for you. Amen. The Old Testament says, many are the afflictions of who? The righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Everybody say, I'm ready to be delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it incredible when God delivers us? Did you know if there wasn't any test, you wouldn't have a testimony? Hello? You know why you got a testimony? You know why Sherry's testifying? Because of a great test that God has helped this family through and shown them His glory in the process. Can you say amen? That healing stands. Thank God it is scar tissue where something was, not evidence of where something is. Can you say, man, they had to go look at it again. Hallelujah. God is so good. My healing was complete of cancer of the blood. There was no bone marrow transplant. If there was one, my family couldn't have afforded it. But God came through. Hallelujah. He's a God of peace, and He's with you, and He's with me. The Amplified said, and the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. The great enemy to God's Word bringing forth all its fruit in your life is what? It's found in the Gospel in the New Testament. It said some seed fell on good ground. Speaking of the Word, it fell on a heart that was so receptive to it. And Satan's last-ditch effort to stop that Word from bringing forth fruit is that the cares of this life, everybody say distractions. How many know that the enemy is the master of distraction? The cares of this life. And how many know many times because we haven't learned to stay focused like we should, we contribute to his tool of distraction. The cares of this life many times are more prominent in our thinking, in our mind, than the promises of God and the preciousness of Jesus. We have to bring it back. That's one reason we're here right now. We're bringing it back. You might have been off track through the week, but right here's a good chance to get back on track. You might have been entertaining fear, but here's a chance, amen, to get off that train, hallelujah, and get on this train. Hallelujah. Amen. You might be carrying some baggage you need to get rid of. This is a good time to dump it. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you had an SUV, you could have a chemical bathroom in it, but you got to pull in somewhere and dump that sucker every now and then. Can you say amen? Amen. Church is a good place to dump your cares. It's a good place to dump your worries. It's a great place to dump your fears if you're hearing a message of God with us. Hallelujah. You could actually leave here with a smile on your face in spite of your trouble if you will acknowledge that the God of peace is with you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Scriptures teach clearly that the last days would be marked by fear and anxiety. And this Luke 21 is because the next verse is talking about the very stars of heaven being shaken. And it's talking about these tribulation events. But these are what we're going through is precursors to that. And it's already begun, this sense of uncertainty and this sense of helplessness. We found out through the hurricane that the government can't do everything for everyone. They're not that good at it. They're not that adequate. Their resources right now are being stretched. Did you know there's not enough flu vaccine to give everybody? And now they're trying to stimulate the pharmaceutical companies to develop vaccines, and they've got to wait till it mutates to people to use the people with it to get the vaccine, for the vaccine to really be effective. So now there's a child down in Asia somewhere that playing with chickens that has come down with this very killer flu. And they said once it's mutated to people, then it becomes communicable, and then it can go around the world. And there's nothing that they're talking about quarantining areas and mobilizing the military. That's how taken back they are at what we face. And no, I know you don't want to hear this. I know you want to hear about a new car and a nicer job and a better, you know, get rid of acne or whatever your problem is today. Can you say amen? But we better be praying for kings and authority. We better be praying for a Holy Ghost revival. I know the church wants to give everybody a feel-good sermon. I want to give you more than a feel-good sermon. I want you to know the peace that passes understanding. I want you to have the hobnailed boots of a soldier. This is not just a tranquilizing peace. This is a mobilizing peace. This is a peace that gives you mobility to get you into the area where you can fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. I remember what I was going to tell you now. Amen. I was listening to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff address Christian leaders, and he said to pray that we will get our military budgets up where they need to be so we can defend America like we need to defend her. And he was an ex-admiral. He had been in the Admiralty of the United States Navy. And he said, listen, you can have the best army in the world, but if you can't get them to the place they need to be deployed quickly and efficiently, you can't win victories, fight battles and win victories. He said you can have the greatest heavyweight champion of the world living up in the Bronx, but if you can't get him into Madison Square Garden the night of the world title fight, he loses by default. Can you say amen? I want to tell you something. Amen. The armor of God is so that we can enter in to the arena of spiritual warfare and through prayer, amen, that is mighty in its working, bring down the strongholds of the enemy and lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Everybody say Ephesians 6, verse 10. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Come on, church. This is not a political thing in and of itself. This is not even a cultural thing in and of itself. At the base of all of these things, amen, we wrestle against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Those spiritual entities that are influencing people in this fallen world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. Take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Let your loins, it all begins with the belt in its chronological order. Let your loins be girt about with truth, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, amen, and the shield of faith, amen, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everybody say mobility. This peace means you can go to prayer. And in prayer, in faith, amen, trust God for your needs and trust God for your protection and trust God for your finances and trust God for your children being saved. You take the battle to the devil. You take it into the spiritual arena. That's where you fight the good fight of faith. It's not reciting those scriptures pasted your refrigerator. It's believing God when you pray. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Satan wants to keep us out of the arena where we win or lose our battles. Oh, by the way, after it enumerates all the armor, the next verse says, praying with all prayer and supplication for me and for all saints. This armor is so you can pray effectively and overcome your enemy with spiritual forces because he's a spiritual enemy. Can you say amen? If you think the Republicans can change America, you're wrong. Have you discovered we got a majority Republican Congress and Senate, but they can't change this culture? Can you say, man, this is not politics, can't change America. Amen. Bush is not Jesus. I saw a red pickup truck going somewhere. I was hoping it wasn't coming here. Maybe they should have come here. Can you say, I guess they should have come here. Amen. But it said on the, some of y'all might have had a problem. Anyway, it said on the back, Jesus is a liberal. Let me say something to you. Jesus is not a liberal. But let me shock you with something else. Jesus is not a conservative either. Jesus is not identified with a political party. Jesus, my friend, is Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. If he's Lord, amen, we all ought to bow to him. Can you say amen? And one day we will, everyone will, bow to him. This time of great negativity when man doesn't have the answers, distress of nations with perplexity. It's so good to have the God of peace with us. The scripture is descriptive of the hopeless and helpless condition of those who face the great tribulation. It's also descriptive, I believe, of the time just preceding it, the time called the beginning of sorrows. That's in Matthew 24:8. I believe the true church will be distinguished from the false by sustaining peace in unpeaceful and fearful times. Amen. I really believe, even when God's judgments are in the land, Everybody say faith and answer prayer. How many believe Elijah was a man that we use as an example of praying and believing God and God answering? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as you are. But he prayed for an escalade and God gave it to him. Is that what the scripture said? I'm not saying it's wrong to believe God for an automobile. I mean, dear Lord in heaven, anyone hears this tape and says, God just spoke to me to give you an escalade? Well, bring it on down. Hallelujah. I'm not too proud to drive it. Can you say amen? Let me tell you what Elijah prayed, how his faith worked. He prayed that God would shut the heaven. And God listened because it was his will. And he did what? He shut the heavens. You realize what happened in Israel when he shut the heavens? How long did he shut them? How long did he shut them? Does anybody know? It's in the New Testament in James. It's in the Old Testament record. 3 years. 3 years, not a drop of rain fell. In a country that absolutely depended on agriculture to eat, to live. Can you imagine what would happen to Florida 3 years without rain? What if God dropped it in my heart this morning and said, I want you to use your faith, son. I want you to pray that revival come to Florida. Everybody's too materialistic. They're so busy working and making a living. They don't pray. They don't seek me. I want you to pray that God shut the heavens over Florida for a few years. Okay, Lord. No. You see, the average preacher is not conditioned to pray that something negative will happen to bring people back to God. We're conditioned only one way. Our faith only works one way. Give them more stuff. Give them more blessing. That's the only way faith works in the 21st century. In a hedonistic, are you listening to it? How did Elijah pray? Why is that in the New Testament? What do we really need in America? Do we need more money? Is it an accident that the rip in the fabric of the covering over America was two of the big financial towers that represent that is worshipped more than anything else in this materialistic nation? It was commerce. Why? Because even the gospel now is more about money than it is about holiness or righteousness. People are envious of what the world has because they don't appreciate the kingdom they've got. I'm going to submit to you. I don't know what's in your bank account. I know what's in mine. It's scary sometimes. But anyway, I live by faith and not by sight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I feel so rich this morning. You know why? In a time of trouble when Bill Gates can't buy a flu shot. Amen. Because they haven't even developed one yet that is guaranteed in any way to protect him. I said Bill Gates with $38 billion can't buy a flu shot. You didn't hear me. I said $38 billion, you can't buy a flu shot. From the mutated thing that may or may not happen. But I've got a God who promised to cover me. Psalm 91. Everybody say Psalm 91. The God of peace is with me. Woo! Hallelujah. What are you going to do, brother? I'm going to do what I've always done. Amen. And what Israel did, and what David did, and Hezekiah, and Asa, and Jehoshaphat. The God of peace was with them. I'm about ready to quit, and I've just barely gotten started. Turn with me to Psalm 91. The new covenant didn't take from us, but added more to us. Can you say amen? Listen to this in Psalm 91. This is beautiful in the time of great trouble. Because this is about anything that can happen to you in the cataclysmic sense. It's here in Psalm 91. And I believe we need to start taking some of these things real seriously. It starts out with people with a real personal relationship with the Lord. Not just churchgoers, but people that know Christ. There's a difference. And it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now this is what David says. I will say of the Lord. Can you say this with me? Since he's saying it, can we say this with David? He is my refuge. You think we could say that he is the place we go in the time of need? He is my refuge. Say it with me. He is my refuge. My fortress. My God. In Him will I trust. Anybody got a coin? This is not a second offering. It's not a trick question. If it was, we wouldn't be talking coins. Can you say amen? I don't even have a coin. Dig deep, brother. Dig deep. Hallelujah. He gave me the penny. He don't trust me with a quarter. He said, that's all he's got. I see your wife and my wife give us the same allowances. Anyway, moving right along. I get my paycheck, and I hold it up in the air in the locker room, and I say, this tonight, I said, don't want to forget my wife's paycheck. I said, boys, I said, you take this home and give it to your wife, she'll give you $5. Anyway, moving right along. You know what it says on this coin? Something that they desperately want off this coin, but the people who began this nation understood that we're going to live in a materially wealthy land. This nation was rich in natural resources. And they're starting to print money now. The federal government is printing money based on gold reserves. Amen. And they put something on the coin. They wanted it on every coin. Now, so that when we become the wealthy nation that we became, and we became as self-sufficient as wealth can make you seem, which is really an illusion, because there's so much that money can't buy. And one of the things it can't buy is this peace that I'm talking about, particularly peace in the time of trouble. So they had something stamped on every piece of currency in the United States of America, because they wanted to remind everybody that's blessed by the greatness and the opulence of this nation to remember it's only because of God that these blessings are ours. And our real trust is not in the nation's resources, but in the God, hallelujah, that they recognize as the true and the living God. Can you say amen? Everybody say, a sermon on a coin. The liberals don't like it. But it's still on there. They'd like to get it off, and they're going to push to get it off. And are pushing to get it off. Like the Pledge of Allegiance that says one nation under God. Get that out of the way. But the moment there's trouble, we have a national day of prayer to this God that we don't want to hear about. Honey, I'm telling you something. There are more people in America that believe in Him than don't believe in Him. They may not have believed on His Son, but they believe there's a God. Amen. This is a nation that is ripe for revival. Can you say amen? Because we're a nation that needs the help of this mighty one of Israel. I'm optimistic about the future because I think it's going to get so bad that we're going to have God move. And I believe churches are not going to just put on a great program on Sunday morning. They're going to cry out for a real move of the presence and power of the Yahweh of Judah. Hallelujah. Where's your trust today? If you're trusting in yourself, what a mess me and you are. If you're trusting in other people, forget it. They're as weak as you are. In God, we trust. Do we really? Do we really? What happens if you get in between jobs and you don't have insurance for 6 months? Is God God or isn't He? Amen. Or is Blue Cross Blue Shield your shield of faith? You better get it above that. You don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't either. I advise you to have good health insurance. It's so expensive, but there are circumstances that can take that from you. What do you do then? What happens if they cancel your home insurance in Florida? They're certainly going to go up on your rates. What happens if they do? I mean, I've got home insurance still. We found a company to insure us, but I went out to that great big oak by my house during the hurricane that did come over Lakeland and Plant City that they said was going to miss us. Everybody said, don't even trust the weatherman. How many know God's the real weatherman? Did you say amen? Hallelujah. He's not even a member of the Meteorological Society, and yet he knows exactly where the storms are going to go. I did something. I went out to that big old oak tree, this big old 100-something-year-old oak tree that's so big around. I mean, it's huge. If it fell on my house, it'd do a number on it. Amen. I just didn't want it falling on it, insurance or no insurance. I wanted some assurance, not just insurance. How many know assurance is better than insurance? Amen. I just went out and laid hands on that big sucker. I laid hands on it. I said, God, you gave me this little house. Amen. You blessed me. Amen. I know the devil liked to take my blessing from me. Amen. I laid hands on the oak tree and I said, Father, I don't know how bad the storm's going to be or how bad the wind is going to blow, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, keep this oak tree right standing right here. I'm not depending on how deep, amen, the roots of this tree go. I'm depending on how deep my faith is in you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, I suspect I shall have to go out several more times, amen, because they stood before one of the chief weather people, amen, of the government, stood before the insurance commission, and he told those people that run these companies and set their rates that we're in a 20 to 25 year cycle of unusual hurricane activity. Isn't it great? Hallelujah, to stand this morning and know that every year we're going to have to watch the radar. Amen. And lay hands on our trees. The only thing I can tell you is the God of peace. If you're a Christian, trusting Him. The God of peace is where? Aloof in His heaven, oblivious to what's happening to me and you. No, the God of peace is with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say, the God of peace is with me. Even if there's a pandemic. You know what David said? He was so convinced that this God of peace was with him. The peace of God flooded his soul to the degree. He said, I don't care how cataclysmic the event is. He said, therefore will not we fear though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. For God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Somebody give him praise. So either he can be a help or we're manufacturing something that is a mere religious philosophy that there's no comfort or consolation in when the real trouble comes. I want to finish this, but I can't. Let me just read from Psalm 91. We'll finish this sermon tonight. Amen. Can we finish it tonight? Amen. Actually, we'll never finish it. Can we go further in it tonight? Amen. I've never finished anything, I don't think, in my life in Scripture. Amen. I find something else. I will say of the Lord, say it with me, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now He's going to talk to us. He said, this is what I've done, and if you'll do it, this is what you can expect. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. There it is. Amen. Everybody say bird flu or anything else. Every microorganism. Everything that can hurt me. He shall cover thee with His feathers. That's what it means to dwell under the shadow. And under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth, what I'm reading to you this morning, shall be what? Your shield and your buckler. Amen. Buckler is a little shield that was strapped to the forearm. Again, this is up close fighting. Amen. And it's also up close winning the battle. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Everybody say the terrorist threat. Nor the arrow that flieth by day. Everybody say a nuclear holocaust. A flaming missile, this arrow. nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Anybody remember the Twin Towers? He said, listen, even in times like this, you can trust me. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. This is not about, amen, the majority, but those who decide to make Jesus the Lord of their life and God their exclusive source. 1,000 will fall at thy side. It doesn't mean you're going to be exempted from things that may happen in the world, but it means when all the dust settles, if you trust God, you'll still be standing. 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Is my math correct? Are there 11,000 down? Are there 11,000 down? But is there one still standing? Don't categorize yourself with the statistics in some medical journal. Amen. 1 in 3 is going to get that. 1 in 4 is going to get that. I don't care if 11,000 have it. Amen. There's one that's going to be standing that trusts the Lord. Forget your family tree to the degree that when you go to God for healing, don't let your genetic makeup override His supernatural virtue that flows from Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You have to have a point of departure where your family history, amen, changes. That you trace your history back to a root, a stem from the root of Jesse. Not an Irishman from Dublin. Or a Scotsman. Or an Englishman from London. Or an African man from South Africa. But to a holy man from Jerusalem. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. Glory to God. When you go to God for healing, you forget your tendencies and all those other things. And you say, this is a mighty God, hallelujah, that has given me wonderful promises. Now that we've dealt with that a little bit of a fear issue. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold the reward of the wicked. Now, I want to go back real quick. He prayed it wouldn't rain. So corrective judgments would turn a nation back to God. And when that nation came back to God, he prayed again that God would open the heavens. So this idea of only praying good things and only prophesying good things and having just a feel-good time. I look at people that go to feel-good churches and buy feel-good tapes. They don't feel very good in spite of all the stuff they're telling them. You know why? Because the real issue, the core issue, is the God of peace. If he's not reigning in your life, it don't matter what promises is given to you from a pulpit. You're going to be a sad case, and so am I. And if you keep worrying, you're going to be a head case before it's over. It's going to hurt your health. And without peace, how can you enjoy the blessings and benefits of God? Everybody say, stay focused. It's an Old Testament scripture that said, he will keep them, or him, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, God says, because he trusteth in me. It can't be a trust today, worry tomorrow. It can't be a trust today, fear tomorrow. It's got to be a trust today and a trust tomorrow. You can't be double-minded in your trust relationship with God and enjoy and employ his peace. Great peace. It all, you know, second thing that the shoes give you is not just mobility so you can go to that arena of battle and fight that good fight. It gives you stability so when you get there, you can stand your ground. They were hobnail boots. Did you ever have golf shoes? They're expensive, aren't they? Got any more? I don't think so. Amen. He don't get the golf anymore. Amen. I wish he could. I've been praying. I saw a golf course, amen, when we went to Highlands, in the Carolinas, and it was in the most beautiful mountainous setting, and the grass is greener than anything. You can put all that stuff on it here artificially. They didn't even need it. They were up in that mountain. So beautiful. And I thought, oh, I'd love to see George Suarez out there without a care in the world, just hitting that ball. And I'd like to see him make, is the bogey, they call it, when you, is that good or bad? Oh, that's right. The bogeyman is bad, isn't he? Yeah, okay, hole in one. I'd like to see him just make a hole in one. Amen. And just see his face light up. And see Patty out there saying, go, George, go, George, go, George. Can you say amen? Woo, woo, hallelujah. Amen. I do. I wish blessings on people. But I'm going to tell you something. You could put George in a setting like that and give him a bank full of money. And if he didn't have the God of peace with him, the peace of God in his heart, he could play a perfect game of golf and go get drunk somewhere because he can't stand living with himself. Amen. There are people like that. And don't let nobody kid you. They're not having a good time unless the peace of God rules within them. Amen. Thank God for the God of peace that is with each and every one of us. Thank God we can read the headlines and say, but God, the God of peace is with me, so the peace of God is in me. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank God for the God of peace. Hallelujah. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations. Can you say amen? The God of hope and the God of peace is with you. If you want to hear more of this, you come back and we will give you more. If you can't come back, we may tell you more next Sunday. We're going to try to finish some of these things. I'm glad for that covering of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't have $38 billion, but I do have the God of peace with me. Now I feel extremely rich. How many want to know Jesus in a deeper relationship that peace can reign, that it can be a sustainable thing in your heart and your life? Amen. Raise your hand again. I want you to commit all that troubles you to me in prayer. And I want you to rise up in peace. For you have not prayed in faith until you walk away in peace. Even if you don't see the answer, even if the conditions get worse, there is a peace, saith the Spirit, that passes all understanding. And when you really, really put your trust in me, that peace will come. How many want more of Jesus? See, you got to have more of Him to have more peace. One of His names, prophetically in the Old Testament, is Prince of Peace. This is not a false peace. This is not something that will break down under pressure. This is a sustainable peace. I love the song. I heard a contemporary version of it, and I wished I had it on tape. It is well with my soul, but it was done in a contemporary. But it just took those words, and I heard them all over again. And I thought, boy, this must be a guy. First time I heard it's well with my soul, I didn't hear the lyrics. I just heard the, you know, and I thought, well, you know, that's great for him. It's great for whoever wrote that because they're having a good time and all things are well. No, that song was written from a man who had got the news that his wife and children had been on a ship that went down. And actually, he came to where they were in a ship going back from wherever he was for their burial. He crossed the place where that ship went down and his family went down with it. And he started talking about it being well with his soul. Honey, nobody can do that for you but the God of peace. But that God can. And we are in need of that peace in our lives this day. The Word will work when the cares of this life don't choke it. When other things enter in, don't choke it out, it'll begin to bring forth its fruit. Faith will begin to flourish when we begin to just give things to God. You don't have to have your faith built up. You just have to make a commitment. Amen? You've got to give it to God. Either He's got it or I'm going to carry it. And if I carry it, I'm going to break. I know because I went through nervous exhaustion. I never quit preaching. But it took about 10 years to get over that. And right now, I guard my peace. What may seem like a huge crisis to you, Brother Venable, Brother Venable. I mean, there's a movie out. I haven't seen it, but it sounds like something I might like to see. Chicken Little. Does anybody know the story? What hit him on the head that threw him off and threw him into a path? What was it in the book? Has anybody ever read the story? The sky didn't hit him in the head, but that's what he thought. What actually plunked him? Nobody knows. A rock, something fell on him, and he thought it was the sky. I mean, any little thing. You know, that's how overreactive we are. Amen. We're Chicken Little. Bonk. I remember telling the story of there was a story in the eastern lands. It was a little story that frequented the eastern lands, and it was about North Africa and other places. And it was about this little sparrow. A guy's got his caravan, and he's going down this trail, and he comes to a bend in the road, and there's just room for him and his camels. And laying in the middle of the road is a little sparrow with his feet up like that. His eyes wide open. He's not dead. He's just laying there looking up into the sky. And the guy that's got this caravan of camels comes up to the little sparrow, and he says to the little sparrow, he says, why are you laying there in the middle of the road? You're going to get run over. He said, haven't you heard? The sky is getting ready to fall. He said, and you think you're going to be able to do something about it? And the little sparrow says, one does what one can. And you know what we are down in this world facing our problems? We're doing what one can. And it's about as ridiculous when we worry. When we worry, come on, about the things that worry can't change. Only God can change. You know what it is? We're laying in the middle. The sky's going to fall, but one does what one can. Well, what? I mean, you know, God must say, will you just stop that? Will you step back from yourself long enough to look at yourself and say, if this really happens, what is all that going to matter to all that? You're doing something. I must do something about this. No, you can't do anything about it. But the God of peace is with you. Can you say, man, that's what we need to get focused on. If you don't have His peace in your heart, I encourage you to go back to the Scripture. I encourage you to get in church. I encourage you to get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. I encourage you to claim the promises of God, because the God of peace is in fact with you. And you need a heightened awareness of that, so that when the trouble comes, though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, we will not fear. For God is our refuge and a hiding place in the time of trouble. Would you join hands? Father, bless this congregation. Draw us closer to You in the name of Jesus. We'll give You the praise. And if there's anyone hears this or here any time in these services that don't know You, we invite them to come to know the Prince of Peace, so that Your peace can reign in their heart, not just for this life, but at the final judgment of the world to come. We can face it all with perfect peace. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. Will you let that play into the Lord? Let's just give Him 3 minutes of praise. You can leave it right now. This is after glory. When I move to provide needs for my people in the dark day, it will bring greater glory to my name than in the bright day and the good day, saith the Lord. For then my miracles shall be beheld by the world about thee, and they shall know, again I say unto you, they shall know that you have a God, and you shall know that I have a people, and that you are my people, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 God is going to distinguish in that respect between the righteous and the wicked in this last day. Amen. The Scripture said, for all men know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. Can you say amen? You can't buy answered prayers, and you can't just get them answered by faith either. You've got to have a relationship with God. Amen. Peace precedes power in the Christian experience. And peace sustains power in the Christian experience. Halabakusha. Because if you lose your peace, you won't use your power. Because you'll become easily discouraged, easily distracted. Have you got anything out of this message today? Did it touch anybody where we live? Amen. I want this sustainable peace. Amen. To take me through my life, and I want everybody that I tell that I'm a Christian to see it operational in my life. And I want to be a man with hope when everybody else is hopeless. And I want to be a man with courage when everybody else is helpless. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For I have a God. Do you have that God? Hallelujah. Is He with you? according to His promise. Now take courage this morning and strong consolation. Now that God is with you right now. You're going to have to give to Him the things that can burden you to the place of breaking you. You don't need your body affected with ill health anymore. You need peace that reigns in your life. Whatever is hurting your heart right now, just give it to God. Amen. I don't know how the outcome is all going to come, but God is able to answer your prayer. He's able to work a mighty work. Amen. So just give it to Him right now in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God, and believe that He from this moment is in control, that you don't have to fret and you don't have to worry. You don't have to do anything now but stand and trust in Him. In fact, I'm going to say unto you in the name of Jesus, stand still just now and see the salvation of the Lord in this circumstance. And be still in your heart that is troubled and know that He is God, to the glory of His name. Hallelujah. And let's claim this victory. Hallelujah. Through peace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Glory. Hallelujah. This is afterglow. You could have left. You didn't. Don't accuse me. Amen. Hallelujah. But God has been good, hadn't He? Join hands with one another. We'll pray a prayer of an actual closing. And we're going to believe that the Lord is going to continue to bless His people. I can't emphasize enough that God wants to insulate us, not against the things that are coming, but against the fear that is going to grip so many hearts and lives in these last days. There's no place to run, no place to hide except in Jesus. But the God of peace is with us. And the God of peace can sanctify you according to Scripture. The God of peace can keep you. There's so much that the God of peace does when we receive the peace of God in our heart and our life. Heavenly Father, Lord, You want us to grow and flourish like the date palm. You want our horn to be exalted like the unicorns, our strength to come forth. Hallelujah. Father, we are praying for Your manifest presence. Lord, You are not just the God who gives peace. You're the God of peace. And Your presence brings that mighty peace to our life. Your manifest presence in our life. So, Lord, we're not just telling people to trust in a promise without You actually being with us, but through the Holy Spirit to sense Your very presence in our hearts and in our lives. Father, if we sense Your presence, we can face anything, do anything through Christ who strengthens us. We give You the praise right now for the way that You're going to move in behalf of Your people. We anticipate great testimonies from Your people of Your supernatural provision for all of our need. And we want that testimony to become a witness to the world in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Shake hands with somebody before you go. Thank Him for what He's doing in people's lives today. We're glad that you came. I believe almost everyone's leaving with a smile today. Hallelujah. Amen.